is in the Middle East now. He had important discussions in Doha over the last couple of days with the Russian foreign minister, Mr. Lavrov, and with the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia. They were clearly planning something. I don't yet know what it is, but it might be good news, because both Russia and China have very firmly stated in the last couple of days that they will not countenance the dismemberment of the Syrian Arab Republic, which has until now been the plan of President Obama, Prime Minister Cameron, and others. A dismemberment which is already well underway. The Syrian regime in Damascus now controls only one third of the territory of Syria. It is the most important parts of Syria. It is the main cities, minus one, in the form of Aleppo, half of which the government in Damascus controls. It is the clear majority of the population of Syria, but it is only one third of the actual territory. And what is clearly underway has just been said to be unacceptable by both Russia and China, namely a four-way partition of Syria, with a Kurdish area, with a ISIS area, and with a moderate heart-eaters area, sharing power in the country with the government in Damascus. Both China and Russia will not accept this. And there is credible news that Russia is prepared to send armed forces to Syria to defend that part of Syria in which most of the Syrians have chosen to live, the part that isn't ruled by the crucifying, head-chopping, heart-eating, liver-eating, fanatic savages of ISIS. Let's hear what Yusuf in New York thinks about all of that. Yusuf, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on. I was going to say everything you said about Baby Ali, I was going to say I couldn't have said it better myself, so I'm not going to repeat my what you said.
Thank you, Yusuf. You're
welcome. And thank you. I salute you for being so brave to say everything you're saying on the air. So I will say this, though. The Qataris spent more than $500 million to open up Al Jazeera America in the United States, where it can clearly be seen on televisions across the United States. And just like you said, they spent more time covering the lion that died in Africa than they covered the Palestinian baby that was murdered. So, and I tell people, stop watching Al Jazeera because they don't care, and watch Press TV, because Press TV has been covering Baby Ali very well, and I salute you guys for doing that. And I'm very saddened and very upset that the Qataris have spent so much money and they don't do anything for the cause of the Palestinians. And I tell my fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, watch Press TV, and they don't want to hear it. So I'm very sad about that, but I hope Press TV keeps doing what it's doing and people wake up and people realize that Press TV is the voice of the voiceless. And thank you very much, George Galloway. I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you, Yusuf, in New York. The voice of the voiceless is what we are. And this being the 21st century, no one can stop us from being heard. All you've got to do is tune in by hook or by crook. Mohammed is in the UK on the same subject. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum to you, George. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam, Mohammed. Good to hear you. Go ahead.
And you too, sir, as well. And you've done a very good commentary on Ali.
Thank you.
I praise you for that, mate. God bless you, and inshallah, Allah give you more long life.
Thank you, brother.
Standing up for the children of the world. Right, and being so kind, you know, with your words.
Thank you.
Well, basically what it is, George, you know what the policy is like. If that was a Jewish kid, right, being killed by the Muslim
Gaza
world,
would already be being bombed by now.
They would be being bombed. They would have been killed. The whole world, Western NATO is gang, They're not NATO. They're gangsters. America and Europe are gangsters, right? They want to still think they are controlling the world empire in their old ways of thinking, colonial way. They will not stop doing this, causing problems in the world, because they have to sell their arms, ammunition to the world, right? So basically, it's sad to see these Muslim, so-called Muslim countries, I don't call them Muslims, because Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, right, Bahrain, these are the puppets of America, puppet of Israel. They are Israeli governments, not Muslim governments, right, okay? You know, if you read La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you become Muslim. But your acts speak louder than the words, right, okay? And they have no acts in them. They are just brutless as Israelis, right, okay? Israelis are significant of Zionist, and they are carrying out that dirty work in the Muslim world. So basically, it's saddened to see these countries. To be honest with you, I don't feel anything for them because I know they're not Muslim. They're Muslim by name. Anybody can read Kalma and then become a Muslim. But your action should be speaking louder than your words, you know?
Well, it's the actions that will be judged on the last day, Muhammad. Words will be of no value whatsoever.
Your action speaks louder than words. Their action should show to the rest of the world, look, if you kill any human being, any, doesn't matter if it's an Israeli child or a Muslim child, a child is a child of the world. The Prophet taught us that, right? If you kill one human being, he didn't say Muslim, if you kill one human being, you have killed the whole humanity. So therefore, whether it's an Israeli kid or a Muslim kid, these people should be standing.
Of course, early. That's absolutely correct, Muhammad. But the point I made earlier, if baby Ali had been baby Ariel, the home of the terrorist who murdered him would already have been demolished, and Gaza would be being bombed, even though Gaza had nothing whatsoever to do with the crime. Instead, we've seen the alleged murderer grinning. You've seen him on Press TV, on the news, grinning. He's the grandson of the aforementioned Mayor Kahana, whose followers massacred a huge number, I forget the number now, of prayers in the Ibrahim Mosque in Hebron 20 years ago or so. Someone will help me, no doubt, with the numbers and the date of that atrocity. I've been at the gates of the settlement in which Kahana ruled and his grandson lived. As I said, it's called Kiryat Arba. It is no more than a gang of murderers and thieves under 24-hour guard. Yes.
I'm interrupting you.
No, go on.
Something, please, right?
Go on, yes.
What it is, it's a shameful, right, that there are no justful people in Israeli in Israel who would speak against their country. They should be out in their banners and saying, look, this is absolutely wrong, what you've done to this child.
Yeah.
This child was an innocent child.
Well, there are, Muhammad.
There are
some of the bravest people on the earth. Are those Jews everywhere in the world who take a complete stand against the apartheid state, against the terrorist state, against the rogue state that they call Israel. Unfortunately, there are just not enough of them, Muhammad.
The point I want to make is about Obama, right? This is just another way of getting into knocking off Sadat government. It's a legitimate government, right? In one hand, they are telling us, oh, there should be freedom for everybody's freedoms. There is no such thing as freedom.
Except in Saudi Arabia. Muhammad, thanks. I've got to press on. Thank you, brother. Zachary in Aberdeen. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, sir. Regarding baby Ali and the entire Palestinian nation, all, and also the entire Muslim nations, and especially in the Middle East, are in the same situation as Baby Ali. It's not only one person. Entire Muslim in the Middle East and the North Africa are the same situation. And I want to ask from Mr. Obama that he defined Hezbollah as a terrorist. So the entire intellectuals of the world, they must make a one gathering in Jerusalem and define terrorism and define human rights. If these
two, it's not easy to get to Jerusalem, Zachary.
I wouldn't be
at that gathering because I'm not allowed into Jerusalem.
Well, they can go to Qom, to Tehran.
Okay, well, you've made that point many times, in fact. So thanks for that call. What is Obama planning for Syria? That's one of the questions in the wake of the very clear situation which has now emerged in Syria, which is that the government in Damascus is too strong to fall, but not strong enough to recapture the territory that it has lost to the terrorists. So let's hear from Tanzania. Always worth a trip to Tanzania, I must say. Hanin?
Yes, please.
Welcome, brother. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
You're welcome.
One. Can I go on, George?
Yeah, please do.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. What I have is very short, really. What I'm saying is I am shocked at the atrocities that the Zionists are capable of doing. You know, for a people who had almost been annihilated by the Nazis to commit such crimes against another people, I don't know what to say. Perhaps you...
And they're laughing. You saw the killer, Hanin. You saw him laughing in the police station.
Yeah, I know.
And the policemen having difficulty not smiling along with him. Mentality of these Zionist murderers is that the Palestinian people are subhuman. Exactly what the Nazis used to say about the Jews and others that they regarded as Untermensch. The mentality that describes Palestinian children as little snakes whom it is justifiable to murder so that they'd never grow up to be big snakes. They never grow up to be terrorists. This was enunciated by no less than a minister, and a woman minister, in Netanyahu's government. This mentality of Zionism has poisoned the minds of so many and leads them to such dehumanization as to be a mirror image of the beasts who killed so many Jews in the 1930s and 40s. Go ahead, Hanin.
Thank you, George. Thank you for the explanation.
You're welcome.
I know a little more now.
Thank you. Thank you, dear brother. Tanzania is in my eyes, in my heart. They have an important election coming up soon. And we'll see what happens. Thank you very much. Let's go to Bahrain. Talk to Hussein in Bahrain. Hussein, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me, Mr. Georgi Galavi.
Welcome.
And assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum salam.
I just give only a few words about the Zionists, Israelis. And it is just obvious that if the leader... they do the same thing, why not the migrated people of Israel do the same thing? So it is all depending on the leaders. So leaders are so much, the killer, they are so much that to take the, grab the lands, so therefore the people that live, they do the same thing.
Well, Netanyahu condemned the burning of Baby Ali, but he himself burned 500 Baby Ali's just last summer. He himself burned to death more than 2,000 Palestinians in Gaza just last summer. And he's done that over and over again in Gaza and elsewhere in occupied Palestine. So the crocodile tears that he and others shed for baby Ali should be seen as what they are. Hussein, we lost you there, but thanks for the call. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I would like to talk about the Syria.
Yeah, go on. Go on.
Okay. You know, the Syria having a 60 miles long borders, Syria border with the Turkish borders.
400.
And,
400. Yeah.
And what they want is that the goal is to defeat the Turk and insurgent they bring by the CIA train defeat the Bashar Assad. That's actually the aims are. And also the aims also that American allied warplanes is come much closer ever to the area that Syria aircraft regularly bombs that area.
Well, China made the point today that this bombing is illegal without the permission of the government in Damascus. I need to take a short break, just 3 minutes, for a news bulletin. God willing, I'll still be here when you come back. Don't go away. Stay tuned. Watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Tonight, we're discussing baby Ali, the burning of whom to death, together with his family, who were scorched beyond recognition and still lie critically injured in hospital. How that will all have played in the world, political and media class, as well as public opinion, and how it will change, if at all, the attitude that people strike towards the gangster state that they call Israel. And we're asking, just what does President Obama planning for Syria? In a way, he is hoist on his own petard. He and Cameron and others have made possible the advance of the heart-eating, head-chopping crucifiers, the destroyer of other people's religious places, the murderers of the people of the book, the takers of slaves and sexual abuse and trafficking of other people's wives and daughters and sisters. These are the people that the United States and Britain have given so much time, effort, money and weapons to supporting. The problem is, they've now gotten, just like Frankenstein's monster, far too powerful. And if they were to succeed, if there were to be black flags flying over Damascus, well, what would that actually achieve? It would be another Libya, another knife at the heart, not just of the Syrian people, but of many, many others as well. So I think that President Obama now wants to try and bring this situation to a close before ISIS becomes even more powerful. The problem is, when you make a monster, it's not easy to get it back on the table and agree to be emasculated. So just exactly what's going on? There were talks this week in Doha with Mr. Lavrov, and with the Saudi foreign minister and the Secretary of State, John Kerry, representing the United States. It wasn't clear and hasn't yet been made clear what it was that they were discussing, but it can't not have included Syria. So, Hussein is back on the line in Bahrain. I had to cut him short. Hussein, thanks for waiting, and please do continue.
Yeah, I just trying to tell that this American allied warplanes, which has come more closer than ever to area of the Syrian aircraft, regularly bombs.
Yeah.
So to this ISIS. Now the CIA has a plan. You see, they have a byproduct of the plan that eventually they will make this buffer zone into a no-fly zone, and they want to defeat the Bashar Assad. So this is their actual plan. But I'm sure this Obama is he as always, they don't miscalculation. They'll do again the miscalculations. And as you have already said, this Russia, China, they were not going to allow this.
No, they're not. No, they're not. And it is farcical, isn't it, Hussein, that the President of the United States is warning the President of Syria not to fight terrorists, foreign terrorists, who have invaded his country on the basis that he has his own gang of terrorists and he's going to destroy ISIL, and the President of Syria should have no role in it. The President of Syria has not been consulted. As China pointed out today or yesterday, the bombing by the United States of Syria without the cooperation and permission of the Syrian government is itself an illegal terrorist act. Imagine if it were taking place somewhere else. Imagine if it were taking place here in our own country. Imagine if Iran, God forbid, were to start bombing the royal palace in your country, Bahrain, on the basis that the ruler of Bahrain had lost legitimacy, was acting like a terrorist. Can you imagine what the world would say and do about that, Hussein?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely, you're right. Absolutely.
Thankfully, Iran would never do such a thing, because Iran doesn't go around the world acting like an international pirate, deciding which states, people, presidents, regimes are illegitimate and which are not, and bombing whomsoever it pleases. I'm right. Hussein, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much indeed. It's always good to talk to Bahrain, because it's not easy for people in Bahrain to call us. Hans is in Iran. Let's hear from him. Hans, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Doing?
Good evening. I'm very well, thank you. What brings you to Iran? Are you working there?
Temporarily, yes.
Excellent.
Temporarily. I called you 3 weeks ago from Germany. And
That's why I was asking, yes. It's nice to hear your voice. Yes. Go on.
George, I don't know your analysis about this meeting. I come back to this first point with the Zionist Israel, with this latest event when they attacked this house of the Palestinians and killing the baby there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, you know, the politicians you cannot trust, because the meeting between Kerry and Lavrov, maybe they make a deal, you know, we pull back from, I don't know, from Ukraine and you stop supporting the government in Damascus. As we know, the Russians, yes, they have a military naval base in Tartus or something like this. But anyway, we will see what
Tartus,
comes out. But to this conflict now, I want to say something with the Israel-Palestine. Yes, of course, the emotions go high, and it's I condemn strongly the attacks also in the last year when they attacked Palestine. But then it's always, you know, it looks like they retaliate. And it's, but this time it's a different thing, and I hope also mainly the Western world may wake up what is going on there. But if we want to understand the present Zionist-Palestine conflict, you have to go to the roots. You did it often in your program, but we must not forget that the aim from the beginning, when Theodor Herzl and other Zionists like Ben-Gurion proclaimed their target of a Zionist in Palestine, it was to occupy and settle in all of Palestine, in all. That was the first.
Yes, target. It was therefore a genocidal project. It required the extirpation of the people whose land it was.
It's a very brutal thing, and I mean, Ben-Gurion said already in 1938, I prefer to expel the Palestinian by force, and I don't regard this as amoralic. So you know the direction where it goes. So the Zionist policy in 1947 was primarily to retaliate Palestinian attacks when more and more Jews were flooding in. Zionists, you can call them, yes. And later ended in March 1948 in an initiative to clean the whole country ethnically, the so-called, they called it the Plan D, D, Dalit in Hebrew. And this process is continuing up to today. After the decision was made in 1948, it took 6 months to execute the order of ethnical cleansing. When this first step was finished, more than half of the Palestinian population, about 800,000 people, were uprooted, 531 villages destroyed, and 11 parts of city quarters depopulated. So it is nothing new that the Zionists killed, raped, burned, destroyed in Palestine the way we are witness today.
You're right. You're right. I can't fault any of your facts at all, Hans. And I'm glad that you called me, this time from Iran. I need to move on to Algeria, where Nuh is on the line in Algeria. Go ahead, Nuh.
Hello, George. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
I will respond to the question what Obama is planning for Syria.
Yes.
I think that his plan is the peace, for not just for Syria, but for the whole Middle East. We can say a strong sign for that. First, the Iranian nuclear deal.
Mm-hmm.
When you make such a deal, you want a peace, not a war.
Yeah.
And then for the Syria, he disagreed publicly the plan announced by General John Allen and Erdogan, the safe fly zone for terrorists. And then he changed his special envoy of Syria, Daniel Rubinstein, with Michael Ratney, which is a specialist of communication and a very good diplomatic man. And then, in a way to punish Erdogan for his arrogance, he forced him to let the United States use the third biggest bases in Turkey
mm-hmm.
to attack ISIS.
Mm.
Yes, this is in one hand. Secondly, how he will go to this peace process. First, ISIS will be moved to the east, Caucasus or the Chinese Xinjiang, even in Ukraine. And second and sixth, the Al-Qaeda affiliate with Jabhat Musa Jaish al-Fath, there will be a political solution about them. If you have any question, I will be the...
ISIS, I don't accept will be moved anywhere. I don't draw any distinction between ISIS and Jabhat al-Nusra, the Al-Qaeda chapter. They are the same. There is total interchangeability ideologically, militarily, in terms of weapons, and so on. I think that the reason why I infer that the discussions in Doha might be good news rather than bad news, although Hans was worried that the Russians might make a deal to ditch Syria. I don't believe that at all. And I think the logic, as you put it, of the agreement with Iran argues in favor of bringing the Syria conflict to a close. What the terms of that close would be, no doubt, were discussed in Doha. But I think the United States has now gotten itself into a very serious dilemma. You saw on the screen there, they hope, by 2020, I think, to have 3,000 of their non-heart-eating fanatics in their own private army. By 2016, 3,000. First of all, they've now only got 50, 5-0. That's all that they've produced. They won't reach 3,000. In any case, 3,000 militia will be wiped out in an afternoon by ISIS, as they have done several times. They have shown several times their capability. Secondly, the Turkish dilemma. You mentioned Incirlik Air Base, but they're not yet flying out of Incirlik Air Base. And Turkey has stepped up its bombing, not of ISIS, but of the Kurdish fighters in Syria, who have been amongst the ISIS's greatest foes and adversaries. What do you say, no?
Yes, first let's begin with the last one, Turkey. Erdogan bombed the PKK not to fight ISIS or to fight Bashar Assad, but to make his people fear in order to gain election in which he play, mm-hmm. or to make a government, which David Ahmed Oglu has failed to make. Secondly, ISIS will not move as they are. If you follow the news and the report, you will say that some Emirates, like we say, are declaring themselves in the Caucasus, and also with the death of Mullah Abdullah of the Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. So they want the same, practically the same scenario that the world, the Cold War, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And for the point which you mentioned that Al-Qaeda is the same as ISIS, I absolutely agree. They are the same ideologically, the same terrorist, and the same. They have the same financement.
No, it's a pleasure talking to you. You're a wise man. Stay tuned and come back to me each week. I'd like to hear from you. Let's go to London. Seper, if I've got the name pronounced correctly, forgive me if I haven't. Go ahead.
You have absolutely. It's a pleasure, as always, to speak to you.
Thank you.
My point with regards to your question tonight is that regardless of the complexity and different layers of this conflict within the Middle East, I think all in all, Obama's position within all of this has always been one since the first Gulf War and the U.S. administration's aim has always been the same. It hasn't changed in the past two or three decades, and that's to sell as much arms as they can within that part of the region. And I don't think that policy will change the unstabilized Middle East is perfect for America in terms of business. So regardless of the fact that, you know, the talks in Doha or the situation in Turkey or Syria, Iraq or Bahrain,
First of all, Separ, on your first point, you're absolutely correct, and I can give you a number you may or may not know. The satrapies in the Persian Gulf have spent $100 billion on weapons from the United States.
Billions is going to be this year is apparently $110 billion.
Well, there you go. You're more up to date than me. $110 billion on weapons that they can't use, that rust mainly in the deserts. And when they are used, they're used to murder other Arabs, other Muslims. They are used to murder the Muslims in Yemen. But they cannot be used to protect Baby Ali or to protect the 500 Baby Alis in Gaza. These rotten, rotten to the core, kleptocratic, hypocrite regimes cannot last, surely. For how long can they last? What do you think, Sipar?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that the it's a different time, George. The new generation, the young of those countries, the youth of those countries, they are awakening. You know, education, etc. And the times that we're living. You know, we're in an era of multimedia and social.
I'm sorry you're breaking up, brother, but again, it's been a pleasure to hear from you. I myself have a social media audience of almost 1 million people, and what I said about Baby Ali reached more than 2 million people. We're no longer dependent on the people who own most of the media in the world, and that, as Sipar was saying, transforms the landscape. Do you know where the second biggest number of followers of me on social media are? Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. Conde is in the Netherlands. Let's hear from Conde. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Belwin, for being the voice of the voiceless.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
For the United States president to train various groups to enter into a country that is a member of the United
States. I'm sorry, Conde, that's a great pity. We've lost you. I have my wife from the Netherlands and her friend from the Netherlands in the gallery. They were very keen to hear what you had to say, but unfortunately, the line was too bad. Syed is in Vienna. Let's hear from Syed. Go ahead, Syed.
Hi, George. Good evening.
What's the grand tour we're making today? We've been in most of the great capitals of Europe. Go ahead, sir.
George, really, you are doing an appreciable job. And
thank you.
You are really doing for a noble call. And I appreciate your efforts. And really, you are a great person. And George, what is happening in Palestine and overall in this world? I am against these murderous people, what they are doing, and they are doing heinous crime. And George, really, I beg you, I appreciate your effort, sir.
God bless you. Thank you very much. Syed in Vienna, go ahead. Go ahead.
On your last election winning.
Well, thank you. I'm running to be mayor of London. The election is in May, and I hope at the very least you can all remember me in your prayers.
A winner. You are a champion.
Thank you very much, brother. Samuel is in London on Baby Ali. Samuel, welcome.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Go ahead.
Yes, I was just talking about Baby Ali.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, killing off a child who's, just 18 months old leaves a bitter taste in my mouth, and I'm sure that other people, you know, find this bitter. And I think that people waking up to see what Israel's all about. You know, if you kill an adult, it's bad enough. But a child who hasn't even had a chance to, you know, get into life, you know, experience anything, any joy, any, you know, anything like that, and you've killed that child illegally, and, you know...
Well, you know what they say, Samuel, the smallest coffins are the heaviest to carry. And when I saw his father and his family with the body in that little coffin I could scarcely stop myself from weeping. But the crucial thing to remember is what Hans was pointing out. There were hundreds of baby Alis just last summer in Gaza. There have been thousands of baby Alis. Israel is built on the bodies of baby Alis. It is a state founded on theft and murder. Continue the discussion on Twitter at @comment_PressTV.
Hello, please comment your name and the place you left my number. And just make sure that your security volume is set at 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. Could you redirect me to the phone number and then we'll be back with your comment?
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay, so I'll send you a comment on Twitter.